5, 6, 1. There we go. Now, good morning. I forgot that the week after Thanksgiving on Sunday is usually very lightly attended. But we're glad you're here, right? And those who aren't here will just miss an amazing blessing, right? Anyway, just a few announcements. First of all, let me say thank you to everyone last week who cooked a turkey, purchased a turkey, and all the food that was brought, and whoever helped clean up and move tables and whatever you did last Sunday night? Yeah, it was just outstanding. The love offering for Josh was amazing, and we added $100 from the benevolent fund, so we were able to give them $400. So that was pretty good for a small little church, huh? And notice the offering last week was above the normal, so we praise the Lord for that. Help us cut into our deficit a little bit for the year, so we are getting close to maybe meeting that budget. So thank you. First of all, there is a sign-up sheet for the ladies' ornament exchange that is back there on the back table. And again, that's next Saturday at 1 p.m. here at the church. Bring a wrapped ornament to exchange, and snacks and goodies will be provided. So try to sign up and watch your emails in case nobody's canceled, all right? So, but hopefully it's a good turnout there. This thing's on the beat today. Yep. Battery's full. All right. Secondly, December the 15th, we want to have a Christmas caroling and Christmas fellowship at 5 p.m. If you don't want to go out caroling, you don't have to. You can just come here maybe at 5:30 or whatever. I'm not sure if we're just going to go through the neighborhood, or we might drive up and sing a little bit and come back here. We'll see that. The 15th is, we'll just have a fellowship here, so we're asking you bring finger foods to share and Christmas-type goodies. Drinks will be provided. And we did this last year, and it was a blast, our gift exchange game. So somebody asked me already if we're going to do it, Pally. And I'm glad she reminded me, because it was a blast. So just if you're going to come, we don't have a sign-up sheet yet for this, but just bring $5 and below, and you can let your imagination run wild if it's something you have around the house, you know. And just be sure to mark the gift, and please no gifts that say give you two batteries and says toy not included or whatever I got last year, whatever that was. So, but you know, let your imagination run wild. So that's the Sunday night, the 15th, 5 o'clock here. Again, you don't have to go out caroling, but you can just come here and we won't be gone too long. And thirdly, December 22nd is we're going to do our Christmas candlelight service on that Sunday night here at 5:30 rather than doing it on Christmas Eve. So we'll have I spelled that wrong in the bulletin, Christmas. All right, just saw that. That's Mexican, I guess, or Spanish or whatever. I don't know. A lot of special music, a lot of good singing, devotional, and of course, communion. It's always just a wonderful service, and candlelight. So try to put those on your calendar, and everybody's dates fills up in December. And so try to put these as a priority and be faithful. Invite somebody to come. All right, I think that's all that I have. And I've got to put something up here. I'm going to play a song here, but I forgot to put the scripture reading here. But I want to play it. This song came to mind as I was preparing for this message on Abraham, and which I'm going to, in the sermon, recite some of these words here. But Abraham, of course, there's no mouth. Oh, it's in my pocket. To keep it warm. I'll get it together here in a minute. God told him to go and didn't tell him where he was going. Now that's faith, right? Leave everything you got. Leave all familiar, what you're used to, what's easy, what's comfortable, and go. And by the way, I'm not telling you where you're going. And Abraham just followed God. And so you'll see the words up on the screen, and it's just simply entitled, I Will Go. 6, 1 through 3. Give thanks to the Lord for good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. Father, thank you for being a God who is full of love, and your mercy and grace and your steadfast love never ends. In fact, steadfast and forever are synonymous. They go together. And thank you, Lord, that where you send us, we can go. We don't have to have all the details. We don't have to know everything about it. We just need to know you, the one who sends and the one who calls. And so open our hearts as we open your word later to see your servant Abraham and how you changed him and how you moved in his life. Lord, what a wonderful season it is to be reminded of why you called Abraham, so that through his loins your son would come. And so thank you for our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, and give us rejoicing in our heart as we sing these familiar songs. I pray that they would not just be so familiar that we miss the message. So we worship you and sing to you because you are worthy and because you saved us. In Christ's name, amen.
With you.
Before we start, do we have this ready to record? Okay, good. I know our sound people weren't here today, so we got some fill-ins, so thank you. Just wanted to double check. All right, scripture reading back in Hebrews, working our way through chapter 11. We'll be 8 through 10 this morning, and if you don't have a copy of the scriptures there, it'll be up on the screen. Right, hear the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, thank you again for these wonderful examples of lives you touched and who walked by faith and belief, earning nothing from you but receiving grace. So today, as we see your servant Abraham, I pray that you'd touch our hearts and challenge us to walk by faith and to have everything laid out to where we can see, but to trust a God who's in control of our life. And we pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen. Message 6, enduring faith is not knowing where you're going, but knowing who sent you. You don't need to know where you're going, but you do need to know the one who sent you. Here's a question for us all today. Are all of our decisions based on what we can calculate, what we can plan, what we've written down in our diary or our planning book, and what we can see with our own eyes? Is that the only kind of decisions we ever make? What I can see, what I know I on my own can bring to pass? Here's another question. Are all of our inner attitude and joyful response based on our calculations and plans coming true? So I've made my plans, I've made my calculations, this is where I'm going, this is what I want in life, these are my plans, this is what I believe will be best for me, and if that doesn't come true, then it's over. I've got no joy, I've got no happiness, I don't really want to go on, or I'm going to work harder to manipulate it so I can get it the way I want it to be because I know what's best for my life. We either lie in that camp or we lie in the fact that, God, it's your life that you've given me, your will, not mine. And I've read this psalm before, but I was reminded of it again after this thought. And again, I hear this at funerals a lot, and I think it's a sad song. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway. But much more than this, I did it. I think that's a sad song. Now the music's powerful, and the lyric, you know what I mean? It moves you, the whole emotion of the music. But when you really look at the words, regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. And of course, he bit off more than he could chew. I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did it all that I, may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me, I did it my way. I'm getting pumped up. I mean, I'm doing it my way. I've lived my life. I've made my own choice. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. Now think about that statement. I don't have myself, I have nothing. My way and my desires and my decisions. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels, I take that to mean kneeling down to what somebody else wants for you. No, I'm not going to kneel down. The record shows I took the blows, and I might add in, daggummit, I did it my way. Right? A very moving, emotional song, musically, but very sad when you compare it to biblical truth. I hope none of us would end our life and say, I did it my way. I hope we'd say, I kneeled to God, my Savior. And by faith, I walked in his light of his word. And I did fail. And I did choke at times. And I did mess up. But I followed his way. Can you truly say God has entered your life in a supernatural way? He's changed you from the inside out, and your life is characterized by faith in God, not yourself. God supernaturally changed Abraham's life, and now his life is characterized by following God, the God who changed him. And he didn't know where he was going, but he knew the one who sent him. So let's look at this. First of all, he was called. Abraham was called. Look at that in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. This is his lost position. Abraham had to be called just like you and I have to be called. And there's correlation here to salvation and living faith. God didn't choose Abraham because he had any attributes. It wasn't because he was courageous. It wasn't because he was strong. It wasn't because he was wealthy. It wasn't because he was a leader. It wasn't because of anything at all. He simply decided to set his love upon him, and God chose him. God just went down in his lost position and picked him because God wanted to. In fact, Joshua 24:2 tells us that Abraham and his family served other gods. So here is Abraham. He's serving other false gods and giving his life to them and praying to them and throwing his life away as a dead unbeliever. And God just reached down and gave him life. Abraham believed. It was counted to him as righteousness. Romans chapter 4. And God changed him, which leads us to his changed position. Notice what it says here. And faith, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. The Greek is when he was being called. The minute God called him and changed him, he began trusting God. He began following God. The false gods and the false idols, he put away completely. Now, that sounds easy for us, but that's not easy for some people who have lived in a religion and placed their whole life and trust in that. God comes in and says, I've called you, I've changed you, and he walked away from everything he used to trust. And I've shared this story before, but it's so, I think it just fits perfectly. But a missionary shared the story where a guest preacher came in. He preached a message about Jesus, and the whole crowd pretty much walked the aisle. And the preacher, the guest preacher, is excited. Man, this is great. God moved. But the missionary who had lived there for a long time got up and said, wait a minute, folks. He's not asking you to add Jesus to all your other gods. He is asking you to get rid of all your other gods and embrace Jesus alone. And then the response was quite different. That's what Abraham did. In fact, Acts 7:2 says, the God of glory met Abraham when he was called. God met Abraham way back when he was an idolater, an unbeliever, did not know Jehovah whatsoever, but it says the God of glory met him. It didn't take several verses of a hymn to coerce him to walk an aisle. It didn't take a human emotional appeal from the preacher to get you all worked up emotionally. None of these gimmicks that we tend to do today. God just simply reached in and changed this man's life. He saw his glory, and he changed him. So Abraham was called. God chose him. God changed him. Would that God would do that in our day. Truly change people. But also next, he was to receive. Let's read on. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was being called out to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He was to receive. So first of all, it's a real place. God reached down into his life. He had never met, Abraham never met God before. God changed him. He followed him. And God said, you are going to get a place, a real place. A real place that God had chosen. Now, that real place is all through the Old Testament, is it not? We see God moving amongst his people and calling Abraham and then Moses and making a nation and then his servant David. And we see God teaching us about his son through the sacrifices and all the wars that went on, conquering the land of promise through Joshua. Eventually, the Savior came to Bethlehem and was murdered there in the place. You're going to get this place, Abraham. I'm going to give it to you. I'm calling you not only to save you, to change you, but to go out to this place that you are to receive a real inheritance. And so it's a real place, but it was a real inheritance. And the real inheritance is much more than just the dirt that people walked on. The place where God had his people set up the tabernacle and set up their homes and to see God's faithfulness. It was also a spiritual inheritance. Now, are you like me and you want it right now? Most of us, right? You want it right now. Somebody said this week that they buy gifts, but they don't want to buy them too early because they want to give them to people right away, you know? It's hard to wait. We're a people that want things right now. But notice what it said here to Abraham. I'm calling you to a place that you are going to get. You are going to get as an inheritance. You're not going to get it now. In fact, Abraham never saw it. Abraham in his lifetime never ever saw it. Calvin said this, it is a rare trial of faith to leave what is in one's hand to go seeking for what is far off and unknown to us. That is pretty good. It is a rare trial of faith to let go of what's already in your hand to go seeking what you don't have. Abraham had it in one sense, but in another sense, he didn't have it yet. He was to receive it. And I've shared this story before, but some of you may not have heard it. But I do remember driving off to Florida years ago to go to Bible college in my little yellow Chevette, my banana car. That's what I called it, the banana, my vet. And I remember specifically driving in Kentucky after we left in the morning Abby's a baby, I don't know what, 2 years old, almost two, sitting in the car seat in the middle, and pots and pans on the side of her and boxes on the side of her. And I think I had a little U-Haul thing on top and just packed in, and we're driving. I specifically remember driving on that road somewhere in Kentucky, not too far out of Indiana, and I said to myself, what have I done? We were going to a place we had never been before, never been to Florida in my life, never been to that campus before. We just packed up and we just left. And I remember, and I think Chuck Swindoll was preaching on the radio. I remember that. And then I remember thinking, what have I done? Where are you going? Are you crazy? You're a nut. Then we pulled into campus, and the campus is unimpressive. It just had like one big church-type building, and then it had these old classrooms and palm trees and nothing. No football stadium, no basketball stadium, you know. Nobody greeted us with a care package. Welcome on campus, you know, like they do. And, you know, it was just like, oh, girl, what have I done? What have I done? Our first night on campus, they put us in a little bitty travel trailer. And I still have no idea where Abby slept. I just can't remember. We were in this bed that pulled out, and I hung off it like that far. And those big palmetto bugs, let's just face it, they're roaches, okay? Somebody gave them a cool name, but they're roaches. They were all around that little trailer. And again, I'm saying, what have I done? One author said, Abraham recognized that in responding to God's demands, he must place his entire reliance on the God who not only called him, but would guide his steps, meet his needs, and prepare his future. And I'll tell you, when you get in those places when you're next to roaches and your feet hang off the bed and you say, what have I done? There is no place to go other than, I know the God who sent me. Right? I have no idea what's going on. This makes no sense. I've got roaches trying to crawl in my ears. My feet are hanging off the bed. We're going to die tonight. But God is leading us. And it was amazing. When I came out of class one day, the lady handed me a pink slip. Not because it was from the job, but it was pink. You know, those while you were out, it said, your job is over. So I got a job there building mattresses, and it came out, and I got a, oh, my job is over. Okay, Lord, I'm in a campus that's a dump. I'm living, and now I don't have a job. Next couple of days, I got a job at the airport. Never missed a beat, you know. It's knowing the God who's in charge of our future. So God said, you are going to get it, but not yet. So you follow me. That's faith. In Genesis 15:5, it says this, God said to Abraham, look toward the heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. Wow, me? Now next week we're going to talk about Sarah, his wife, who was 800 years old and got pregnant. I love preaching that message. Look at the stars. If you can count them, which you can't, your offspring will be more than that. In other words, that's salvation. People, my Messiah is going to come from you. People are going to be born again because you are a part of my plan. Wow. But not yet, Abraham. Romans chapter 4 says, Abraham, in hope, he believed against all hope. You ever been there? The only thing you have is hope, and that hope doesn't seem very big. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become that father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. That's all he grabbed onto was hope. Get up and go. Where am I going, Lord? I'll tell you later. Go. By the way, from your loins will come offspring, kings and nations, more than you can count in the star, but you're not going to get it in your lifetime. Well, I'm not going to live for it if I'm not going to have it in my lifetime. That's what most people would say today, right? But that's not the way Abraham lived. He lived by faith. And you and I are part of that promise. Galatians 3:29 says, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So get this. The promise that God gave Abraham so many years ago, you and I, if you're saved, are it. That's you. He was talking about you way back then. So he was to receive. So he was called, he was to receive, but here's the kicker, he was not knowing. That's poor English, but that's what the text says. They used all those he was's, so I decided to use them. Notice, and we read this, notice back verse 8, by faith Abraham, he obeyed when he was being called to go out to a real place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 8 said, he obeyed, he went out, and by faith he went to live in the land of promise. And he got there, but not as it was intended for God's people in the fullness. So he followed God. He didn't know where he's going. He followed God, but he followed God based on one thing. God gave him a promise. God just gave him a promise. In fact, the end of verse 9, Isaac and Jacob, his sons, were also heirs with him of the same promise. They banked their life on hope in a promise. You ever had somebody promise you something and then not come through? We all have, and we've probably done it to others as well. And we're going to see more of this next week as we tie in Sarah and Abraham and the covenant. He placed his entire life and every action from that moment on one little promise. And here was that promise. Quote out of Genesis, I will make you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And he knows he's getting up in age. It's going to come through his old, decrepit wife, Sarah. I will make you a great nation, future, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. And here we sit today. He would never see it, but it was real because God promised it. Now, the specific promise of Genesis 12 will come a little bit later as he shows Abraham some more of the plan. But Abraham immediately made plans to go, and he left. So Genesis 12:1 says, go to a land that I will show you. So what did he do first of all? He had to leave all. He had to leave all. What are we holding on to that we won't leave? He had to leave his country, his family, his relatives, his friends. Leave. I'm telling you to go. Where I'm taking you is an entirely different place. Not only physically, but spiritually. The relationship here is when God changes you and calls you and saves you, you leave that old place, the way you used to think, the places you used to go. Your goals, your incentives, all of those things now are to follow God and his word. Leave the old, the evils, the attitudes, the goals, the direction. Leave what you love. Leave what is familiar. Leave what is comfortable. Leave what feels secure. Abraham, get up and go. And if you've never done that, you don't probably realize how hard that is. To leave what you've lived in your entire life. And I've shared this before, but when we went to Pennsylvania, my first crack at Bible college, no, I didn't flunk out. I remember laying in the bed when we first pulled into the house we were staying at in another couple's house, laying in that bed and missing First Avenue. Is that not the dumbest thing you'd ever hear in your life? You know what I mean, some of you. You miss the old roads you lived on, the old places, and I'm laying there going, this is stupid. This is just dumb. I miss, of course, you got to realize I ran thousands of miles up and down First Avenue in high school. So I was missing home. You got to leave home, Abraham. Now, God doesn't always call everybody to leave home, right? But he calls us all to follow him and to serve him. You got to leave all. But I don't want to leave what's comfortable. I don't want us to be in an awkward place that I don't feel secure. It's like the other night. I didn't feel secure when my wife asked me, do you want pizza? And I said, yes. Where would you like it from? Papa John's. So then she tells me it should be ready. I get in the car and I go to Papa John's. Order for Garrett, two large pizza, you got a special deal. No, we don't have any Garrett. So they mentioned some other names. No, that's not me, it should be under Garrett. Kelly, Tim, you know. So I call her. Long story short, she ordered it from Domino's. So anyway, I felt very insecure and I was getting really bold on the phone. What? She said, oh, no, it's on. She said it's on First Avenue. It's the Papa John's on First Avenue. And one guy says, what's the address? I said, like 5514. And the guy says, that's Domino's up the road. But, you know, we don't like to be in awkward positions. And that pizza wasn't very good at Domino's either. But anyway, Leave all. Leave what's comfortable. Leave what's secure. Drive down the highway. Pack it away. Go to where you've never seen. And trust me. Whatever the word calls us to do, leave all and then trust all. When you're told to go to a place, when God brings something into your life that's hard, it's difficult, when you can't see the end of the tunnel, not only are we to leave what was comfortable at times, but we are to trust the God who sent us there. And he followed, here's the kicker, not knowing where he was going. That's crazy. When I look back of me leaving, us leaving to go to Florida, I cannot believe I did it. I honestly cannot believe that I did that. It blows me away. God just reached down and he did it. I mean, talk about scary. He followed God not knowing where he was going. I hear this every week at the hospital multiple times when I'm pushing people around. I have no idea where I'm at, they say. Because sometimes I'll take them back a different way just to mess with them. And they'll say, I have no idea where I am. How do you know where you're going? How long did it take you to learn this way? I am totally lost. I hear that multiple times. Because I'm just whizzing in and out of elevators, and up and down, left and right, and going around and everything. See, we don't like to be lost. And sometimes I'll say, to get your bearings, that way is the lobby and the cafeteria, just to help them feel a little more comfortable where they're at. Aren't GPSs wonderful? I don't know how you old timers went on trips and vacations without GPSs. You had that big map that was like this big and you're opening it up, you know, and your little yellow marker, right? I remember those Atlas maps, and you can still buy those, right? By the way, it's not bad to have one of those because sometimes if it's cloudy, your GPS doesn't work, right? But aren't GPSs awesome? I mean, you got a little TV screen there, and it'll show you a picture of the sign you're coming up to. It's like amazing. It'll tell you how fast you're going. It'll tell you you're going to be there at 7:15 p.m. It's amazing. Well, I had a pickup in Indiana of somebody who had died, and I knew it was kind of a 4 or 5 hour trip, something like that. So I punched it in my GPS and double checked it. That's the address I was given. Was taking me into Corydon and then into Louisville. And is it 71 that goes to Cincinnati? 71. All of a sudden, I'm getting on 71 to Cincinnati. I'm going, this can't be right. You know that feeling you get? That's like, you feel like you're going to die, but it's not really that dangerous. You know, you're in your car. You're safe. It's like, you just feel like all your world has ended when you're lost. So then I come across the Cincinnati, Kentucky International Airport. This cannot be right. And by the way, that airport's in Kentucky. And then I'm driving along as it turned me this way, and I'm just still, okay, GPS. Then there's the Creation Museum over to my left. I'm going, the Creation Museum? What in the world? But before you know it, I turned back into Indiana, and they must have had like ski resorts there because there was some hills. And went around some turns. It's in the dark, and lo and behold, there I ended up at the door of the hospital. Absolutely, positively amazing. What's the point? We like to know where we're going, right? We just like to know where we're going. We like to know I'm on the right path. I'm on the right road. The GPS did not get attacked by North Korea and it's sending me, you know, somewhere else, you know? We just like to know. And so God said, Abraham, get up, go. I've changed you, but I'm not telling you. He went not knowing where he was going. We used to have tryouts for chair seating and band and orchestra and other kind of tryouts, and you had something you had to play. But they always gave you a sheet of music you never saw before. Anybody know what that's called? Sight reading. Always. They would say, now, play this for us. So you supposedly had never seen that before, so you had just a couple of seconds to just sort of look at it, and then you had to play that dude. Now, that was a little stressful. Wasn't that hard for me, but it still was a little stressful because you'd never seen this before, and they're going to throw 16th notes in there and just some weird rhythm patterns, and so you had to be able to read that. Point taken. We don't like the sight read, right? We want to know where we're going, and this is absolutely amazing that Abraham, by faith, simply just went because he knew the God who sent him. Faith launches out trusting God even if we've never been there before. Even if we feel a little lost, even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if it involves some suffering and pain, even if it involves palmetto bugs trying to crawl in your ear, even if it involves just some rough, difficult times. Non-believers won't do that because they haven't been changed. God changes us and we walk by faith. Now, Abraham wasn't always perfect, was he? He made some boo-boos. We still got to struggle with the fact that he took some family with him when he left, and we'll probably touch that next week. But the pattern of his life was victorious by following God. But notice one other thing here. He followed never belonging. Look at verse 9. He was living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Wow. He never belonged. He was promised a land, but he was going to be a stranger in that land. It was a foreign land. He lived in the land of promise as in a foreign land. God says, this is yours, but you're going to live there as a stranger. Now think about that just for a second. God Almighty just changed you and told you that all this land is yours, and from you is going to come all kinds of families, from the whole world's going to be blessed. That's some amazing promise. And there you are, a stranger, a foreigner in the land that God gave you, and you're living in tents with your children. I might call God on the phone. Lord, this doesn't seem right. You changed me, you saved me, you made me your child, and we're living in tents down here, right? Oh, all right. He's going to call me back, whatever the case is. That's absolutely amazing. Think about him. Here he is in his land, and he's looking out over the land and people in their nice homes, and they are having the modern conveniences of their day. They weren't in caves. They weren't dummies. Here they are living a good life, all of these nations that he's living in. He's up on the hill in a tent. I mean, think about that. But he still followed God. I grow so weary of prosperity preaching in our day that dominates television and radio and so many churches. Where God, I don't know what they do with passages like this and the end of Hebrews. I don't know how they handle that, but you can just hear them. God doesn't want you in a tent living with the heathen. He wants you in the mansion on the hill. That's what you hear. You hear that. And these churches are packed with people. It's very sad because many of the people in those churches are tender-hearted people who believe what the guy's telling them. They're not evil. They just aren't discerning the scriptures. He went and he didn't even know where he was going. The last one, he was looking. This is neat. He was looking. Verse number 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is what kept him going. He kept his eye on the prize. He was looking. Isn't it amazing that the very next verse in chapter 12, 1 and 2, which by the way, we added the chapters, humans did, these all flowed together, says to keep our eye on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. His vision was on the future. He was called, he was to receive, he didn't get it yet. He didn't know where he was going. He was living as a stranger in the land God promised. He never got to see what he was given. But he said he was looking to something else in the future. I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient. They come and go. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And notice verse 10, look what he was looking towards. Whose designer and builder is God. He was living in a tent, looking at all these houses and all of these communities and cities that had all of the modern conveniences of their day, and he's up in a tent, but his vision, his goal in his heart and mind was looking towards the future city that God was going to build for him and the inheritance of all the people that he was promised. Now, you see some pretty cool buildings, don't you, around? Stadiums amaze me. I don't know why. Football stadiums, they just amaze me how they're so big. And have you ever walked up some of them? You feel like if you took one step forward, you'd just fall. It's a weird feeling. They're just amazing. I mean, we have some human architects that do some amazing things. I get called to some homes sometimes to make deceased pickups. I got called into a home once where that walk-in closet, the person died in the bedroom, that walk-in closet was as big as most people's bedrooms. And I got to admit, as we were getting ready to pick her up, I was kind of gawking at that going, wow, look at that. It was just like, you can actually walk in there. That's why they call it walk-in closet. But Abraham said, no, I see all the cities down here. I'm in a tent. My children are in a tent. My wife's in a tent. All my servants are in tents. It's dusty. It's a mess. It's just not as good as the ones I'm seeing. But it says he was looking for something else. He wasn't looking for America today in our vernacular, what we would look for. He was simply looking for a city that God must have told him about, that God said, I am its builder and I am preparing it for you. I designed it and I built it. And that's what helped him to look to the future. God's in control. God's in charge. And he made this promise and I'm going to follow him. And he is building me a home. And I resist the temptation of going to Revelation, as we did that several months ago, and talk about this beautiful home that God's building for us and is built for us. It's absolutely amazing. You know, the older I get, the more weary of this world I become. The more tired of it I become. The more tired of the injustices that I see. I get tired of people being treated like numbers and not people. And I just grow weary of it. I grow weary of the evil thoughts, things I hear every week from people, and it just absolutely amazes me how they cannot see what they're missing. Of course, they're blinded. The God of this world has blinded their minds. They can't see them. But so you and I have to do the same as Abraham did. We can't look to hear, because what we have can be what? Taken away in what? A moment's notice. Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, right? And then Job said, God didn't know what he was doing. Is that what Job said? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we must keep our eyes on the future. We must keep our eyes on the city God has made for us, provided for us through the Lamb, his shed blood and resurrection. We'll get more into next week. All right, let's land the plane. Let me ask those questions again. Does our life characterize a life that's been called by God and changed, which results in a life of faith? Remember, when God calls, he changes us. Doesn't mean we've totally arrived. We still grow, but he does change us. Are all of our decisions based on what we can calculate, plan out, and see with our own eyes? Now, let me add a little time out here. That doesn't mean that we don't plan, right? That doesn't mean that we don't say, okay, I've got a mortgage payment. I'm going to have to work and make sure that money's there. Doesn't mean we don't plan. Doesn't mean that we go through life, whatever, sera. It doesn't mean that. But James did say we should say if the Lord wills or not, right? That's not what this is. But when God calls us and changes us and his word calls us to step out by faith, or we feel impressed that God is moving us toward a ministry or whatever it is, we must be willing to step out by faith and follow him. And not say, well, okay, let me put it on paper. And again, it's not wrong to do this in the right sense, but when I went to Florida, I didn't have a job. I didn't have hardly any money or anything. We just packed up and went. That's why I can't believe I did it. Amazing. And nothing that amazing for me. I'm just a nobody. But am I willing to step out and simply say, God, you will provide. You will provide. So would the song My Way characterize your life? Or would the song I played earlier characterize our lives? Again, none of us are perfect, right? But the characterization of our life, the overall living of our life. Let's see. The chorus said, I will go where there are no easy roads, leave the comforts that I know. I will go and let this journey be my home. That's Abraham. That's Abraham. I'll let go of my ambition, cut the roots that run too deep. I will learn to give away what I cannot really keep. What I cannot really keep. And then the question, and then the prayer. Help me see with eyes of faith. Give me strength to run this race. I will go, Lord, where your glory is unknown. I will live for you alone. And I love this line here. I will go because my life is not my own. I will go. I think that's what Abraham said. My life is not my own. He wasn't perfect. He had some struggles. He had some mess ups. But he simply said, God, I'll go because you're the one who sent me. Father, thank you for Abraham's life. And again, we'll see more of this next week and how you fulfilled your plan by doing a miracle with his wife, bringing the promised seed, which eventually will become the promised seed, Jesus. So, Lord, all of us here today need your help. I pray if there's one here that's not been changed and called by you, you'd call them and save them so they may begin walking by faith. For those of us here, Lord, today that they're, you know, maybe all of us facing trials and burdens, big things ahead, decisions, whatever it might be, that you would help us to be like Abraham and that we would say, I will go. This is a part of your plan for my life. I don't know what you're going to do. I have no idea. I cannot see it. But like Abraham, I will go, not knowing, because I know you're the one sending. So, Lord, I'm thankful that we can trust you when we can't see because you see. We can trust you when we do not know because you know. We simply can place our faith in your hands and walk in obedience to your word. So encourage us and strengthen us to help us to walk by faith. We pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen.
Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast.
fitting song, right? Leave you with these words. May we trust the Lord with all our hearts and resist the temptation to lean on our own understanding, trusting God to lead and direct our paths. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Don't forget to sign up for the Ornament Exchange if you're coming. If you have any questions, ask Abby.